Well, good morning, New Life Fellowship. Good morning, those who are watching online and everyone here in our building. We're glad to see you. If you are new to New Life Fellowship, my name is Dane Weed. I'm the pastor here. Hey, Jesse. How are you, man? It's good to see all of you here. If you're new, take a moment. There in the chair in front of you, there's a card, a welcome card. Take a moment, fill that out, and you could hand it to me or one of the ushers or place it in these little black boxes in the back. Those are our offering boxes. Place it right there. Or you could, if you're watching online, you could text the word DISCOVER to 313131. And you will get a link, and you just follow that link, and it helps us get connected with you because we want to stay connected with you. We do different emails throughout the week. We send you information of activities. You could also download our app, New Life Fellowship app in Logan, Utah, and that'll keep you updated with all kinds of things that are going on. Just a few announcements. If you want to become a member of New Life Fellowship, we'll have a membership class on Sunday, February 7th. This is actually 11:30. It's after service, and lunch will be provided with that. And so if you're interested in becoming a member, there's a membership sign up in the lobby. Go there. If you want to be baptized, we're going to have baptism on February 14th, Sunday, February 14th. So if you've never been baptized, now's the time to do it. And so let us know about that. And then on February 21st is our annual business meeting. We're going to have an in-person business meeting here in the in our building, and we felt with the number of members there are, where we can spread far enough apart to have a business meeting, and that'll be after service on February 21st, where we'll do some elections and vote on our budget. But let me just share with you a few things about our life groups. We've been promoting and talking about our life groups all this month, part of our One Initiative, where He is the one thing that drives everything we do, and part of that is to get together in groups and learn God's Word together. And so we have several life groups that you can choose from. We have one that is called Unshakable. It's the study of the life of Daniel. That meets on Wednesday nights here, Wednesday nights at 6:30. All these groups start the first week of February, by the way. So Unshakable starts whatever that is, February 3rd, I believe. Then we have Faith Over Fear, which is also on Wednesday night. This is for those who are transitioned out of Mormonism or have questions about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. This will be Wednesday night here at 6:30. Then we have an Alpha class. This is an online Zoom class. Will be Wednesday nights at 6:30. This is a study of what we believe, why we believe what we believe. It's a fantastic video series that we'll be doing. Another Zoom class that is taking place is called Grace is Greater. This will be a Zoom class on Wednesday nights as well. You could get the information in the lobby about that. And then we want to open up to everyone. We have first announced the apologetics class would be college students only. Actually, this is open to whoever's interested in apologetics. And apologetics is learning how to defend your faith. And so that'll be Monday nights at 6:30, and it's open to everybody. So check out the roundtable in the lobby. And there's some information about each life group, and we encourage you to get involved in one of the life groups. I want to just share with you some news that is happening with as far as our leadership is concerned here with our worship team. Karen's not in the room. I think she stepped out. Karen Corona has been our worship leader here at New Life Fellowship for the last 6 years. And she has done an amazing job. There she is right there. Karen has expressed to me she wants to step down from that role for a time, for a season. And she'll still be a part of our service, but just not in the role of the worship team and the worship leader. And we just want to extend our gratitude and love to Karen. And so next week, we are going to do that. And if you want to bring a card or a gift or anything you want to do, we have a basket in the back where we're going to collect cards just expressing how much the worship has meant to you. Please do that. There's nothing like receiving feedback of ministry. Sometimes it kind of goes unnoticed. And she's done 6 years, served 6 years in this role. So just take some time to share some encouraging words to Karen, and we want to honor you, Karen. next week. And so that'll be part of our service. Well, we are in the one initiative. The one initiative is He is the one thing that drives everything we do. And we're focusing on several different aspects of making God the center of our lives, where we're asking you to participate in reading one chapter of God's Word every day. We're asking you to invite at least one person to church on Sunday during this year. We're asking you to disciple one person this year. We're asking you to serve in one project, whether that be served within the church, like nursery, children's church, worship team, greeter, coffee shop, whatever, or serve in a project outreach that we're doing. And next week, we're going to share about all the projects we have planned for 2021, some outreach projects. And so we're asking you to do that. But everything that we do is founded upon prayer. Prayer is one of the most important things that we can do, is to pray and seek God and ask Him to bless our work, bless our services, bless our lives, and just to seek Him. And prayer is where we discover, what is your will? What is your plan? What do you want to do? And so we have coordinators over the prayer team, and that is my parents, Ray and Bev Weed, and they're going to come up and share today. My dad has been a minister for over 50 years, and so I think he knows what he's doing. And so we're going to ask him to share. Both my mom and dad are going to share God's word with us today. So let's give them a hand.
Good morning. I want to say good morning to all of you who are here, but I also want to say good morning to those who are watching online, and if I can have the pastor's permission, I want to say good morning to my 2 7-year-old granddaughters who watch every Sunday. Hi, Lila. Hi, Hartley. I just had to do that because every Sunday we get together as a family through Zoom, and they always are saying, Uncle Dane, we saw you. So today they get to say, Nana and Papa, we saw you at church. Well, I kind of wanted to follow Pastor Michael's example. I didn't have a chain big enough, Michael, to bring this morning, so I was hoping this would stand here, but I'll have to put it down. I'm following his example of using a prop to illustrate some truths to you this morning. God is good all the time, isn't He? And prayer is so important. I love to pray. It's not always easy, though. Sometimes it's not as natural as you think it is. You say, I know I want to get before God in prayer, and there are hindrances to prayer. But if we purpose, if we have a commitment to prayer, it can be such a rewarding experience in our lives. So I'd like for you to stand, because Pastor Dane has us read the scripture and stand in reverence to the Word of God. And we're going to look at Colossians 4, 2 to 6. Colossians 4, 2 to 6. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You may be seated. And Lord, we thank you for this morning that we have this opportunity to share your word. Have you sometimes felt in your life that you just don't have the same excitement and zeal serving Christ as you once had? Or you come to church and you say, I know I should have a compassion for the lost, and I had that time in my life when I could really have a burden for people who aren't saved, and I wanted to see them come to know Jesus, and I've kind of lost that zeal and that desire. Is it possible that we as Christians can go through a spiritual dry time in our life, a season of spiritually being dry? And what causes that? What causes us to be bored or lose our excitement? It's not that we don't believe in God anymore. It's not that we stop coming to church. It's not that we've stopped giving to the ministries of the church. But something has happened to cause the excitement in our walk with God to not be there. And I believe that one of the main reasons why we lose that excitement is that we've served God for a lot of years. We're mature Christians, and we get the idea that we know how to handle life. We know how to deal with the problems that come our way, and we neglect prayer. It's easy to do. But I really believe the way back to experiencing excitement and zeal for God is through prayer, through knowing God in prayer. Do you like tea parties? You ever been to a tea party? If you were a kid, maybe you did, because I know that my grandkids, even the ones that come here when they were little, they would come and say, Nana, can we have a tea party? We want a tea party. Now, they liked it because of all the little stuff that goes with a tea party. And if you watch them, they took the spoon and just kept dipping into the sugar and putting it into the tea. But there are different kinds of ways to drink tea. And we'll see how good this thermos is, because I put hot water in it this morning before we drove up from Ogden. But we're going to have a little illustration of how people drink tea. Have you ever noticed that some people, when they're drinking tea, they just kind of dip the tea bag in? You know, every now and then they just dip it in. And then you have those tea drinkers that just leave the tea bag in there, and they leave the string hanging out, and they just wait and they wait and they wait, and pretty soon they start drinking the tea. Now, if you were to ask those people, why do you dip your tea bag into the water? They probably would say, well, you know, I dip it in there because I don't like my tea too strong. And I can kind of see if the tea is, you know, the water absorbing the tea, and if it's changing color, then I know that. And it's kind of a weak tea. They like weak tea. But then you take the people who leave their tea bag in the hot water, they say, I like strong tea. I want it to be constantly in there absorbing all the tea that is in the tea bag. And I think that's a lot like our prayer life. We have people who like to just dip the tea bag in the water. You know, an emergency comes along, I got to get that tea bag in the water. And sometimes they just want to cover bases. You know, you go through the day, haven't really talked to God all day, and you sit down for the meal, and somebody says, oh, we need to pray. Oh, yeah, we better cover our bases. Let's pray for the meal. And they dip the tea bag in the water. But then there are people who say, oh, I love to see God do great things. And I like to see the power of God at work. And they just say, I can't begin my day without spending time with God in prayer. And they put that tea bag in the water and they just let it brew. And then when they drink it, they know, oh, that's so good. And I want to tell you this morning that it is so good to have God's power at work in your life. And that power comes through prayer. If you read the story of the early church, you will find that they devoted themselves to prayer. When they got together, they said, well, what shall we do? Well, let's pray. It was an important part of their lives. And great things are done when you have people who are prayer warriors. I call them mighty prayer warriors, because they're connected to the vine. And that's what Jesus said. He says, you're the branch, and I'm the vine, and you got to abide in me. And if you abide in me, your life's going to be exciting. You'll come to church, and you can hardly wait because you're connected to Christ. He's Lord of your life. You see, prayer is not just something that you say or talk about. There's a lot of people who can give you good description of prayer, and they can talk about prayer, but I'm talking about people who practice prayer. They know how to connect with God and abide in Him, and life becomes exciting to them. Joy comes when we spend time with God in prayer. And as we look at this passage this morning, we see that Paul is encouraging the Christians. He's saying, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. To be devoted means to be committed. In fact, I was telling my wife as I was driving up here, because we were kind of thinking about what we were going to share, I said, you know, if I had it to do over again, I would tell every young couple that came to me and said, we'd like you to do our wedding ceremony, I would say, I require counseling, and the first thing I would counsel them is, if you want a successful marriage and a wonderful family and home, spend time every day in God's Word and in prayer. It's so essential. And when I hear about people who are struggling in their marriage, I often, in talking with them, find out that spending time with God is not a priority. They don't spend that quality time together, praying together, reading the Word of God together. You know, I am so thankful for my Christian heritage. My parents were Christians. My grandparents were Christians. And, you know, they had something that they passed on to me. And the thing that you could see in their life was that they believed that Jesus Christ was coming soon. And they had to make use of their time. They didn't want to waste time. And they wanted their family and they wanted their loved ones to know Jesus because, you know why? They believed Jesus was coming and they didn't want anyone left behind. And consequently, they realized the only way to get the message clear as it ought to be presented to them was to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they would spend time in prayer, and they realized that the source of them sharing the gospel and having an effect upon their life was because they had time with God. Their devotion time was a time of commitment in their life. It wasn't a hit and miss. It wasn't like they put the tea bag in the water once in a while. It was in there all the time because they had constant communion in a meaningful relationship with Jesus. That is what prayer is all about. It's communion with God. It's not just saying, oh, I've got a need today. It's knowing God in a personal way and having His power, His Holy Spirit, fill your life. And then He said we are to pray with watchfulness. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. As I said at the very beginning, if you were here this morning, or you are here this morning, not if you are here, you're here. But being here, you might say, okay, that's something that I need to do. I need to spend time with God in prayer. And you know, the very thing that spurs you to prayer can be a time when the enemy will come the strongest against you. He'll try to bring hindrances to your time with God in prayer. You'll say, I want to be praying. And that's why Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray. You got to be alert, for the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He will put hindrances, problems in your life will arise when you say, I'm going to spend time now with God in prayer. And you begin to think of all the things you're struggling with and the duties that you have for that day. So be watchful. Know that Satan goes around trying to hinder you in your prayer life. Realize that it is a spiritual battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, standing against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, Satan is the god of this world, but the kingdom of God is in us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the source of your power and your strength to resist Satan is prayer, is to be filled with the Spirit, to know the power of the Holy Spirit, to commune with God in prayer. And that's why we are to watch and pray. You know, the disciples, they thought it was just an ordinary evening with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus knew a battle was coming, and he needed his disciples to be alert, to be watchful. And I'm calling on you today to be alert, to be watchful, and to know that there are things that will try to come against you and your prayer life. Now, I just want to put a plug in for Thursday night at 7 o'clock, because it's easy to say, oh, I've heard about that prayer meeting, and we've tried it in the past. And listen, God wants to do something wonderful. God wants to do a great work in your life. God wants to bless your family. God wants to bless this church. And God will do it. If you would just say, you can say, oh, I can pray at home. I can Zoom my prayers. No, you need to come together. Listen to me. I've been in the ministry for a few years. I'm over 70 now, so I can... Used to be when I was in the ministry, say, you're too young. Now they say you're too old, so I don't know what's going on here. But I'm telling you, we need to get together. We need to pray together. Don't put it off. It's 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Be here. I'm telling you, you better be here. I'm bigger than you. Be here. 7 o'clock. Well, I better let my wife preach. She says I go too long. So... Bev, don't go too long.
Yes. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't God good?
Amen.
You know, how many of you woke up this morning and the first thing out of your mouth was, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. See what I mean? Praising God is a habit. And have you ever met a person who, no matter how great things were, they did nothing but see the negative and complain? It could be a beautiful day, and yet they would see that little tiny cloud up in the sky, say, oh, it's probably going to rain. But you know what? Just as you develop habits of negativity, you can develop a great habit to praise God from the moment you wake up until you go to bed at night.
Amen.
That song, Praise is Always on My Lips, that's what it should be, regardless of our circumstances. Now, the third step in prayer, powerful praying, is to be thankful. And God wants to do great things for you, but sometimes our attitude keeps us from doing that. I heard a story this week, and I'm just going to tell it really quick, and you may have heard it before. Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you know who Corrie Ten Boom is? She wrote the book, The Hiding Place, and it took place back in World War II when her family had been hiding Jewish people in their houses, and Corrie and her family did that, but then they got caught, and the whole family was put into prison camps. And Corrie and her sister were in a camp together, and they were in that camp called Ravensbrück, which was one of the worst ones. And they went in there, and the area that they were in was infested with fleas, and it was very crowded. And they knew, though, that God was going to do something. And so they had a little Bible, and every morning they would have devotions together. They'd pray and read the Bible together. And one morning they woke up and they read in Thessalonians, "Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances." Well, Betsy said, "Corey, I think we need to be praising God for the fleas." And Corey says, "No way. I'm not going to do that." And she says, "Yes, we need to praise God for the fleas." And so they started thanking Jesus for the fleas. And you know what happened? The soldiers, the guards, left them alone for the whole time they were there. And they were had the freedom to have their Bible study and to pray with the other prisoners because the guards did not want to come in where the fleas were. Now, that's how God works. He works in our circumstances. We may not like our circumstances, and they don't always change. But God works in them if we have a good attitude of praise and thankfulness and worship. I believe that our thankfulness and worship just go hand in hand. I love to worship the Lord. I love to see what He's doing. I love to thank Him for what He has done and what He's going to do. In Colossians, the second chapter, verse 7, says this, that as our roots go down deep into Him, our faith is going to grow strong, and we will overflow with thankfulness. Now here, that goes back to this. If you're abiding in God, your roots are going down deep. If you're letting your tea bag seep, you are getting rooted and grounded. And then the natural result is overflow with thankfulness. You will become a thankful person. This past January, Ray and I decided to memorize Psalm 103. And he's done the whole chapter, but he's good at memorizing, and I'm not. So I have 5 verses. That's great. 5 verses. And this has become our theme. I think it's up on the script, on the screen. I don't know if it's Psalms, if it is. Okay. I want you to read this with me, because David is saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." He's telling himself, "You praise the Lord, soul," because we don't always feel like it, do we? We have a tendency to be a little negative. And so David is saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Now, why wouldn't you want to praise Him? Those are tremendous benefits. Stop and think. How many times do you go through the day just thanking God? "Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for what you've done in my life today. Thank you." David says, "May I never forget the good things. Thank you, Lord, for all you are doing. Thank you for your provision." Thank Him. You should never run out of good things. Seriously. So if you're struggling to give thanks, read a psalm. I love to sing. I go through my house singing my songs, or I turn on my music, and it just changes the atmosphere. It changes your spirit. Develop an attitude of gratitude, not just a Thanksgiving. We hear that a lot. But in Hebrews, it says, continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Become a praising person. Raise a hallelujah. I love that song, Raise a Hallelujah. And you know what one of my favorite phrases in that is? Raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. Sometimes we have to do that. We have to yell it out, because unbelief can just take hold of us. It can discourage us. It can depress us if we're not seeing the answers to our prayer. So shout. Go through your house singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout it out in your car. Amen. And see what God does for you. It will lift depression. I have a friend who said, "Praise is our battle cry." And I agree with that. It'll declare, it will stop the enemy. And here's another thought I just want to throw out really quickly. Prophesy your praise. Have you ever thought of that? And you say, well, what does that mean? It means declare your praise ahead of getting the answer. Now, I don't want you just to be praising God for the new car, or praising God for a new house before you ever get it. Praise God for what is in His will. Find out what His will is, and then declare it. Lord, I thank you for healing my son. I thank you for saving my brothers. I thank you that you're working in our lives right now. It's prophesying something that God wants to do, and He will do if we pave the way for Him to do it and get rid of our unbelief. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Praise produces faith. And then the fourth thing is, pray with a purpose. Now, Paul was very specific. Going back to verse 3, he said, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Pray with a purpose. Have a specific reason to pray. Sometimes we're too vague. We say, bless me today, Lord. Bless my children. Thank you for our food. Amen. Well, yeah, God wants to bless us, and that's a good prayer. But why not be more specific? Being specific gives you purpose in your prayer. Purpose will bring passion in your prayer. When you have specific things lined out of how you want to pray for people or a situation or a circumstance, it will produce passion within you. It's, you know, some of us have passion in the crises moments. It's like that pop in tea bag, in and out, like Peter, when he was sinking, he said, Lord, save me. Well, that was a crises moment, and that's okay to have those crises moments. But why not be a passionate prayer in all of your praying? You know, when you have something specific lined out, like Paul said, pray that we can declare the word with boldness. You can pray that for yourself. Put your name in those in place. James says, the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. The heartfelt prayer. Here's another thought. Pray the scriptures. That will help you to be specific. Maybe you're saying, well, I don't know how to be specific other than just to list my needs. Well, that's okay, but let's go a little deeper. Here's a good example, and I don't know if this is on the screen or not. Colossians 1, 9 to 12. This is a good example of how you could pray specifically for someone, for yourself, for your children, for your family. I have a post-it note in my Bible on this very verse. And I've listed my children's names, my grandchildren's, my brothers. And so when I pray this prayer, I'm praying for them specifically for these particular things. Now, let's read it together. Paul is saying, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, and you can put a person's name in there. For this reason, since I've heard about John, Susan, whoever, I have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God, now listen to this, this is how to be specific. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. I pray that you live a life worthy of the Lord and that you please Him in every way. I pray that you will bear fruit in every good work, that you will grow in the knowledge of God, that you will be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you will have great endurance and patience. And I'm going to give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. What a powerful, specific prayer. And you pray that daily for your family, for your children, for yourself, you're going to see God doing good things because you're praying his will. Now, there's a ton of prayers in the scriptures. And I challenge you to go through, especially the writings of Paul and some of the Psalms, and find specific prayers and begin to add them to your prayer list and pray them for the people that you're praying for every day. It'll give you passion, and passion produces results. I believe it. I sincerely believe that. And it produces confidence within you because you are preaching God's will and you're praying God's will. First John 5 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything and according to his will, he hears us." What a great promise. So let me challenge you. Make a prayer list. And maybe you have one already. But, you know, sometimes we get a little bored. We get a little distracted. So having a list helps. And do have maybe a different list for every day of the week. Maybe one day pray for all your family. Of course, you may need to pray for them every day. We do. You know, about 10 years ago, Ray and I, after he retired from full-time ministry, we suddenly realized we have this whole morning free. So we began to set aside an hour, and sometimes an hour and a half, that we pray specifically by name for every person in our family, our immediate family, our grandchildren, and then every person on my side, every person on his side. Every day, we are faithful to do that. So you might need to do that every day. But then on another day, pray for your pastoral staff. Pray for Pastor Dane. Pray for Pastor Michael, Pastor Matthew, Pastor Bev. Pray for them that God will give them spiritual wisdom and insight, that they can be fruitful in every good work. Pray for the missionaries. Get a list of all the missionaries from the church office. Pray for them by name every day. It'll make a difference. And while you're praying, I love to do this because we have needs in our family that God needs to answer. And I'm sure you do too. And so I remind God, I said, "God, you said in your word that all things are possible. You said that we can believe and that you will answer our prayers. You've said that, God, and I'm standing on your word. All your promises are yes and amen. And I believe that with my whole heart." And so I remind him. And I'm just going to throw this out. We have 4 children in our family, 3 boys right now. Well, we have 5 children. But 3 of our boys are suffering a physical ailment. And I have a granddaughter who has a physical ailment. We need to hear God. We need to see God answering these needs. And I prayed to God one day, I said, "Give me a specific verse." And he led me to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and verse 24. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a story of Jesus going out through the whole land, healing everyone. And then it lists all the different people, all the different types of illnesses. It was demon possession, blindness, deafness. And then it says in the NIV, those with severe pain. And then it said those who suffer seizures. And those 2 things are what my family members are struggling with. Severe pain and seizures. And I began to pray that. I pray that daily. God, you did it then. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you need to, I'm just going to be personal here. You need to be praying for your pastor. He has been suffering pain for 1.5 years. That's not necessary. God is the God of the impossible. God is a God of miracles. And if you as a congregation, as a church body, begin to hold him up in prayer every day, God, you said in your word that you would heal those with severe pain. You said, and you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Now, we've been talking mostly about personal prayer, but Ray brought this out. Corporate prayer is so powerful. You cannot begin to imagine the power that comes when a group of people are all calling out to God together and worshiping together and believing Him to do great and mighty things. We do encourage you to come Thursday nights. You know, sometimes we have to make time to pray. None of us have the time, but you have to make the time. And Paul concludes this section, and he says, make the most of every opportunity. In other words, don't waste your time. He's saying, don't waste your time. Take advantage of the times you have. Make the time to pray. Believe that God's going to open up the doors for you to share His word. Now, we've been asked to head up a prayer team. And if you want to be a part of the prayer team, and we will be sending out emails every week with specific prayer needs, and we will join together in our own separate homes to pray for these needs. If you want to do that, I think there's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. Sign up today, and we'll add you to our list, and we will be united together in that. And be in prayer for one initiative, that God will use that this year. So here's your challenge. Be devoted in prayer. Be watchful. Be a praising person. And pray with purpose. That's our challenge to you. We would like for, Ray and I would like for you to stand and join us in prayer. And we want to ask Pastor Dane, Pastor Michael, Pastor Bev, Pastor Matthew, to come up on the stage. And as you as a congregation, would you reach out? And we're going to pray for them today. We're going to believe God to use this church body through our and anoint our leadership to do what God has called them to do. You are the people who hold their hands up in prayer to do what God's called them. So would you join together and Ray lead out in prayer for them today? And let's just, everyone,
anybody that wants to come up and lay hands upon your, come on up.
I think that's okay, isn't it, Dane?
Sure. No.
Come on up. Somebody, come on up. We want everyone to be a participant.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you love us, that you're on the throne.
Oh, God, we pray for anointing and a blessing upon our leaders today, Lord, our pastors. Oh, God, I pray in Jesus' name, bring healing to their bodies. Oh, God, minister through them. Give them wisdom and knowledge in you. Bless them, oh, God, with an exceeding greatness of your power. May they know that you are working in their lives and that you are guiding them. Almighty God, I pray in Jesus' name as we lay hands upon them, that you will anoint them and heal them and strengthen them and use them, O God, for your glory. We thank you, O God. We praise your name. We're expecting great and mighty things from you, O God. And we praise you for it and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
We've asked the worship team to come back up, and I want us to end this with singing that song, Jesus Breaks Every Chain. I know we all here have our different circumstances, and we have needs in our life and in our family, and chains need to be broken, and that's going to come as we spend time in prayer and as we intercede and as we seek God for His blessing and His power. So join in together and prophetically say, you're going to break every chain, God. You're going to bring healing and salvation.
Thank you. break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Thank you. break every chain, every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. We expect you to move this morning. We thank you in advance for moving. Glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, for healing in every
I see chain. The chains falling.
Thank you, Jesus.
I see the chains falling.
Come on. See them breaking off in the spirit. Come on.
I see the chains falling in the name of Jesus. I see the chains falling. Sing with me. I see the chains falling. I see the chains falling. I see the chains falling.
He bore the price for our healing.
I see the chains falling.
By his stripes we were healed in the name of Jesus.
I see the chains falling.
In the name of Jesus.
I see the chains falling.
Nothing is too big for you, Lord.
We believe in you, Lord. We believe in our healing. We believe in our deliverance.
We're praying for victory. It's already been won. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We prophesy our healing, Lord. We declare it, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
You just pray with me right now. Father God, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you that you are God who says, call upon me and I will answer you. Oh Lord, we cry out to you and we ask that you would work miracles, that you will do great, great things in each person standing in this room, each person that is watching online. God, that you would do great and mighty things, things that will just blow them away, that they just the glory of God at work. And Lord, we will praise you. We will praise you. We will praise you. Give thanks to the name that is above every name. We'll give glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask that you go before us as we leave this place. We go before in victory because you have already won the battle. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week, everyone.